Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Welcome. Gonna cut the music. This is Jane. Tonight is Wednesday, October 5th. It's been sunny and warm in Minnesota. It's kind of like open mic night. It's a loosely based topic. The headliner is people who disappoint us, but the real headliner is workplace stress and when to prune and decide when to leave a job or pick a job over one another job. I'm just going to do it only like a two-minute intro, and then you guys can jump in and bring in other current news events. So I was working 10 miles away at a data entry place that only paid $11 an hour. I worked there for 1.5 years, simultaneously while working at a treatment center and a nursing home, and now most recently I work at a school cafeteria in a middle school. The obvious choice from the day I took the school job was to quit the data entry job, being that the school job was 4 minutes from my house. The reason I stayed longer is because I liked the people, I liked the environment, and I like picking whatever hours I could work during the week. A few weeks ago, I had some problems, and I was trying to decide whether to leave, and I emailed somebody in the Eden Prairie Twin City office asking them why the wages were so low. And then I was going to meet with my head supervisor in the office I really work in, which is Superior, to go over whether I earned a raise. Well, they gave a company-wide dollar raise to everybody in the whole joint, so technically I didn't have any reason to meet with my head supervisor. Then I found out through my immediate boss, Tim, that he was compiling a report of all the hours I said I was going to work versus the hours I actually worked, including breaks, and I felt like that was some type of effort on their part to deny me the raise. Well, the raise happened anyway. So then I was at work Friday night, and I had worked back-to-back jobs 3 days in a row. I was tired, and I asked one of the supervisors if I could leave an hour and a half early and do makeup hours Saturday. And they said, you can't meet until you talk to blah, blah. Well, my head boss had been in all week, but he worked different hours than me, and he never made an effort to try to set up a time with me, except for he said one time in passing, we have different hours. And that's all he said. So then I was also told I couldn't work Saturday because I wasn't at 90% that week. Well, I took offense to that because I had been there a year and a half, and I had worked many Saturdays at my own choosing. I felt like they were being restriction-based when they had lost, I would say, 5 out of their 25 employees in the last month due to poor wages. So overall, I don't think it's a horrible company because there's flexibility in work, but I do think that they don't provide any incentives for people to stay. And with that, I had to leave the place because of the low wages. Now, if I had taken my Social Security this year that I was entitled to, I could have just done that plus received my SSN, but I didn't want to. So with that, I'm going to pull the hosts in as they appeared. John, thank you for calling promptly. Maybe you'll have an extra hour in before you have to take a shower.
Actually, you are correct, Jane. And it's a sad thing, but it's going to get actually even worse as far as employment.
By the way,
wages.
You sound like you're in the gym already with the acoustics.
Actually, I'm going in and out of rooms. I'm locking down the facilities.
And Don, we have a comment for you before you join. Last week, John was showering next to an African American and some Latinos and probably others, and you were spouting off about black and whites, and John had to lower the volume on his phone. You're on the air, Don. Don Gallimore.
Yeah, I said hello, yeah, everyone.
John was embarrassed, and he didn't want soap put up his ass in the shower. So since he's
in
a public place, you better be more careful what you say.
What in the world are you talking about?
Last week, when we were talking about all the African transplants that stole money from the feds during the COVID child nutrition program,
okay,
and you were going off about
Minnesota.
You were going off on race theories when John was in the shower with 3 to 4 different races.
Okay.
So, John, why don't I let you explain how that made you feel?
Oh, I'm fine. Just I go to the gym, so it's really hard for me to comment on stuff like that when you got, you know, a couple of brothers in the shower, you got another one in the stall next to you taking a dump. You know, it's kind of a, they're not going to take context. They're just going to take a statement right out of the air and go with it. And, you know, so it was a situation where basically I just wasn't going to engage the conversation because there's no way you can explain to someone the full conversation.
Okay.
And wow. I know you didn't mean any harm, Don, because I was also partly at fault for trying to, I put them in a category because I figured when people come to this country and they're immigrants, and they technically, if they came from Ethiopia, they came from a country where they starved, Somalia and Ethiopia. So then I find it ironic that they've come here and create fake programs to rip the government off to feed fake children. So I wasn't saying I'm being racist, but I was just trying to point out. I wouldn't
right.
go to church.
The fact that you mentioned that wasn't an issue because people come and they cheat from all countries. The issue was that Don made it a point that it was white people that created the whole problem, and these are minorities cheating. So it's like, okay, so you know they're powerless, and it's the white man doing it. It's like these people are puppets. It's like, you know,
there was one English name in there, Amy Beck. I don't think she duped
so
all of them. They were all in agreement to rip it off.
Right,
Don?
The governments that come from are like this.
Yeah. It's
so, Don,
like that.
I double dipped on the unemployment last year because, well, my hand used to go numb at FedEx right after I got COVID. So I collected the unemployment a few extra weeks or whatever they called it. What was it called? Hazard pay or whatever? PPE.
PPE, yeah.
So I collected it a few extra weeks. I did report my wages, but for some reason they think that they overpaid me, and now I have to pay some of it back.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter what color you are. Like, some people scheme a little, some people scheme a lot. Like, a mom just got busted in the city next to me in Hermantown for stealing $100,000 from a parent organization. And her name's over the news. So I'm sure that's embarrassing to her. When I worked at Six Flags California, one of my friend's mom stole $4,000 from the PTA, and she actually had to go to the prison in Northern California just for
$4,000. Wow. Well,
yeah, she had, what's that women's prison in the Central Valley in Northern California? Do you guys know the name of it?
No.
It's not close.
Well, I used to know the name of it, but I don't anymore. It was up where they, it's up where they make the raisins. So a woman stole $100,000 from a volunteer-run organizations in the Hermantown schools. She wrote 31 checks to herself, totaling $43,000. She also stole $60,000 through debit card and cash purchase withdrawals. Well, now somebody like that who's just trying to get ahead by cheating some nonprofit, it was the Hermantown Primary School Parent-Teacher Organization. I mean, obviously, A, you're going to get caught, and B, now you just ruined your reputation. And I'm not saying I'm above the law. I did some scandalous things when I gambled, but she's going to have to move out of state if she doesn't go to prison.
I guess. I don't know. All I know is that these people are all, I mean, I can't comment because I'm on. Because
John's in the shower?
I don't know where.
No.
I don't know where the hell he is. All I know is I'm on a gag order, so I got to shut up.
You can comment on anything. It's just that be careful what you say when he's in the gym. But then I also wanted to chastise
you. Jim, damn it.
Well, when you are an intelligent person, and not everything boils down to race.
What's that got to do with anything? I've been, man.
Let's go in a circle like it's group therapy, and I've already shared with you guys my burden this week about workplace stress. Can anyone comment on my original introduction, and then we'll branch off into other topics?
No.
Thank you.
John sees everything in black and white. That's all.
Well,
like
Don,
no
you say
other...
you quit. When you're upset with a job, you quit it because no one's going to do you in.
Who said that?
You said it in the past.
I said that I would, which call it a job?
All right, let me put it this way. Would you drive 10 miles to a job that pays $11 an hour if you could be making $20 to $34 at a nursing home job that you already have?
I wouldn't, no. I have no idea what the answer is because I mean, a job is not an option for me.
But if you have three jobs and you have to pick between, if you have three jobs and you you only have X amount of hours in the day, and you can only work at 2, then what would be your criteria?
Wow, all this math is really tough.
John, why don't you go first and let Don warm his brain up?
No kidding.
Well,
work
is to make money. So to me, making the most amount of money, and then the next two rules are, is it dangerous to your health, and does it compromise your life? Like, you say your car, you can't afford the gas, or you got to drive for 3 hours, stuff like that. The number one thing is you're not there for fun or to make friends. You're there to make money. So the most amount of money for the least amount of work.
Then the obvious choice would be stay at the nursing home full-time, and I've already chosen to keep the part-time job at the school because I like it. The second thing is you're right about the car. Now I only have to drive my car 4 miles a day versus 20, and the days that I work at the nursing home, it's 10 miles round trip.
Right. Well, plus, you're an emotion-based person, so that's important to you. Some people, they're not happy with the life. They can't work a job. Other people, like, you got 3 kids to support, a wife, and, house payments, and comfort's the last thing on your mind. It's just you got to feed those mouths.
Well, part of my workaholism behavior is thinking I have to be somewhere when I technically don't have to. So I also had a very good relationship with one of my bosses who was a poet, and I enjoyed talking to him at work, and I could also plug my phone in my ears and listen to Netflix or our radio show or any other documentary while I was typing. So it was a pleasurable job in some ways. I wouldn't have to wipe asses at that job. So, Don.
How lovely.
John is very good at breaking it down. It's your day off today. What did you do? You seem like you're overtired or something.
No, just as busy as normal. Had our Zumba class this morning, excellent class for dance fitness. And then
does Pat lead it or you?
Pat. And so she's the licensed Zumba instructor. But I've been going with her for, we had the business now almost 11 years. So we've been doing that. And then had a meeting with the new representative for Senator Jackie Rosen. And so got to know him.
Is he already elected?
No, this is the representative of Jackie Rosen, the senator.
Oh. I've heard the name before.
She's one of the duet of the first female senators, state senators in history. So that's what she's a part
of. Is Catherine Masto still in office?
She's the other one, yes. It's Catherine Mastos, Catherine Cortez Mastos, and Jackie Rosen. Those are our two Nevada senators, and they were the first female dual senators in the history of Nevada.
That's cool.
And then
John,
I had another meeting with my MLK, Martin Luther King caravan that I take care of annually.
But that's in January, right?
Right. But we have to make preparations now. I'm also making preparations for our Freedom Fund banquet, and that would be in the February, probably, or early March, while we're in their legislative session. So I'm doing a whole lot of things right now, gearing up for the elections and the legislative session in
February. It's just around the corner now. It's a month away.
That's why we're there now.
What, John or Don, what do you guys have on your mind as far as the nation this week?
Well, Velma from Scooby-Doo, it came out gay in the latest Scooby-Doo movie. Something for the kids.
Wasn't that movie came out like 12 years ago?
2002, they actually wanted to make it come out then, but I think it was Warner Brothers, they said no way. But basically, she's the one with the orange sweater, the glasses, and
yeah,
the short hair.
There were two movies with the real actors. Sarah Michelle Gellar played Daphne,
right.
And her husband Freddie Prinze played Fred, and whoever the Velma character was played Velma.
Right, and basically this one I think is cartoon though version. I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe it's going to be cartoon. I think, because I tried to look up information and they showed cartoon images of her, so I don't know. I'll have to double check that.
Yeah, like she came out gay in the cartoon.
And actually for the movie release, I don't know if it's animated or if it's real people simulation, but the point is they're trying to influence kids sexually. And they're taking an iconic character that we saw in the 60s, right? So that's like 60 years ago. And now they're flipping, it's like, why don't you make Scooby a transgender dog? It's crazy.
This week, John. They were interviewing a woman who was half black, half Puerto Rican, or maybe one and the same, because a lot of Puerto Ricans are black. But she was talking about how her childhood made her an unlikely prospect to be an actress. She said one good thing. She said, whether I get continuing roles or not, I'm content just to be a human, and I'm part of the human race. I don't care, getting roles is not my identity. But then she went on to say something like, I'm black, I'm Puerto Rican, and I'm queer, in the middle of the interview. Like, why do people have to advertise it? I don't get it. She was bragging about how she was the only half black to ever play the lead in West Side Story. But the fact of the matter is people like to advertise it nowadays. They can't go without saying it if they're gay or queer. Or however you want to define it.
I don't know where all that came from. I have no fucking clue where that came from.
I'm going to look up her race, if you don't mind.
It's just the whole agenda to sexualize kids in new ways and challenge them, to not be normal or straight or conservative. And this is a very liberal, it's satanic. I mean, basically, the devil. Say it any way you want, but... He's the author of Confusion, and that's what it's sexual confusion. It's like, we know what, sex is for. It's for procreation. It's for a man and a woman to come together, start a family. And they're just trying to just erode that, compromise it. It's slow in the beginning. Now it's just all out. Like, just look at the White House spokesperson, right? She's gay. And that was the reason why gay and minority have to have it. It wasn't about her qualifications. It was like, those are the things it's got to be.
Well, she wasn't in the Spielberg one, I don't think. I'm trying to look it up. Well, this one girl named Ariana DeBose, she could have been the person who was interviewed. She was born in 1991. I can't, to tell you, wait a minute. I think she is gay because I just found a picture of her. Yep, her name's Ariana DeBose, and she has a female lover, and she's gay. Now, I'm not trying to pick on her. I'm just saying that in the she had a very stellar interview. She was on fire, and then right at the end, she had to throw that in there. Her father is Puerto Rican, her mother is white, and she has South African ancestry and Italian ancestry. But she felt like the crowning moment of her interview was revealing that she was gay, which I don't care, but it was just, to me, it took back from the context of the interview because she was talking all about her roots and her struggles,
yeah.
and then boom.
Oh, it's
so,
just a cultural slide, that's all. Everything has to have that slant to it. And
it's like
that's
she has
how you
to define
in.
Herself. No,
well,
I don't
that,
walk around saying I'm Finnish, Swedish, and straight. You know, even if I was cast in a movie, I wouldn't say that.
Right, but they have to, it's the agenda. That's how you get in. If you don't promote those things throughout, that's from every movie has to be now diversity. Every movie has to have significant minority characters, especially black. It's not too concerned about Asian or Mexican, Latina. No, it's got to be black. And it's like above all things. And that's when you've seen all the characters come out. It's all flipped out. And what I'm saying is that
there's
qualification
also, John, there's
is
also a surge of Native American actors. If you go on the streaming services like Hulu or Netflix, there's a new Native American comedy on Hulu. And there was also a lot of Native Americans cast in Fargo, the series.
Right, but that's not mainstream. It's not major. You know, it's more like with the major studio releases. They have to have that agenda. It has to be like for it to be an Academy Award or even just a regular movie. It has to meet a minimum of minorities, significant minorities in the movie production, the acting, all that stuff. It's like
I don't keep too much track of Hollywood. I just know, like, there was a film festival here I missed. I swear to God, there must have been 200 short films the whole weekend in Duluth, and I missed the whole thing. I really felt like that would have given me a better picture of what's going on right now in entertainment.
Well, it's only begun. It's going to keep on going. It's been a process over the last 50, 60 years of just eroding American values, and it'll continue until we're Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the program. It's just all out decadence.
Well, I have a theory of the reason Jesus is really coming back is because everybody forgot about him, except for the faithful Christians.
He's not the priority, I'll put it that way. Except for blaspheming him or the church or God, and that's a priority. But that's society's rolling that way like sheep, but who's leading the sheep? The shepherds, studios.
Well, I'm
not
saying that the Christianity is more diminished because God wouldn't allow that to happen, but I think there's a lot to be said about what's going on just in our local cultural centers these days. Don, I think you dropped off the radar because none of these topics are appealing to you.
No, I'm trying to be nice. If we are missing shows because you can't eat...
We're not missing shows. I decided not to advertise our show last week because I felt like there was some offensive material in it, and it would be a turnoff.
Okay. But
Wade, technically, He called the show at 6 o'clock Pacific time. He got the times mixed up. And I thought for sure he was going to call tonight, but now I don't see him on the line. So we're only going to go an hour tonight total because John's in the shower and we all have bigger fish to fry. So, Don or John, why don't you open up with another topic that you might find interesting? Otherwise, I'm going to talk about local politics.
Well, you know, the stuff that's interesting right now is what is going to happen, you know, what's going to happen to the economy, and is there money for reparations? Because everybody else, I just saw Germany decline reparations to Poland, and, you know, people...
Because of when they invaded in 1941?
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, that reminds me of something. I'm going to the Bernie Sanders rally tomorrow night because it's in Duluth. I'm going for two reasons, and John won't believe my second reason. I'm going because I'm kind of like Albert in the sense where I didn't feel like he was part of the real system. And the second reason I'm going is because I'm no longer a part of the two-party system. So I just want to see what kind of dynamics he's like live. And then also somebody mentioned when I wrote that on Facebook, yeah, that's the last thing we need with our economy in the tank. So they were disappointed I was going to see the burn.
Well, Don's concerned about inflation, but then he wants to get reparations to just add, pile on to the whole situation. And the thing is, who does he want reparations from? From me? From you? Taxpayers? And if he's a taxpayer, it's also probably going to come out of him, too.
That's a good point.
It's going to be a tax or whatever. So
I don't care. Man, money, I don't care, John. You should know about it by now. It's a principle of the thing.
I did hear something on NPR, which was rather disturbing. Someone did a study on how many black people were killed between the end of World War I and the beginning of the Reconstruction era, and there were a lot. There were many killed in many different towns, and there was no justice brought forth in 99% of them. But like you said, it was 150 years ago. Well, now it was like more than 170 years ago. So I don't agree with reparations because I think it would be too hard to figure out.
No,
well, not only that. The issue is, as a person, I don't want something to happen to someone 200 years ago or 100 years ago or 50 years ago or even, you know, outside of my lifetime. If it's not directly on me, I have no right to that. It's no big deal. So I really don't get that, because if you're going to go all the way back to every woman that's ever lived that's divorced a man, go back to God, go back to everyone. No, just be responsible for your life, you know. I mean, seriously. You know, just that's like, give me my reparations. It's like, yeah, you know, you just keep crying for it. It's not your money. It's not your situation.
Well,
yes, it is.
Go to the people around you.
Harvard, Georgetown, and a whole of Virginia, they're paying suits against them, for the way that they were built. They were built exclusively on slave labor. And so they are made now to pay for that. So it's you accept, because those schools were begun and prospered with slavery.
We're about going back to Egypt and going after the pharaohs for the what they did to the Jews or to other people, or you know what, go back to the Chinese or whatever.
That didn't happen in America. that didn't happen in America, John, where the first article of the Constitution said that the black man is three-fifths of a man. The Negro, I'm sorry, is three-fifths of a man.
Uh-huh.
So we've got to start from that basis, and that's why maybe last week I was...
Why did you pick that point? No, wait a second. Why did you pick that point? Why don't you sue all of the African slave owners that sold blacks into slavery? Why don't you go after them? Go to Africa.
They would be included in this. That's no problem, but we're not suing the people. We're not suing the people who brought it over. We're suing more or less the universities that were built.
I'll be back in 2 minutes.
You want me to pay for what someone else assumed? I don't assume that a black person is three-fifths or a half or a quarter of my value. I don't. We're brothers and sisters. So it has no...
Right.
It has no precedence to me. Legally, if you come to me and say, like, Don, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue you because...
They've already had Japanese and Chinese internments. They've thrown Indians and indigenous in reservations. This is not a precedent. This is something that has happened over time, many times. Whether it comes out of your pocket or not, it's not the point. The point is being
fair. It is the point.
Fair. No, it's not.
It's not fair to me. I didn't do any of these things.
It is fair to
you.
You're
opening up a whole precedent of law.
I'm back.
That's what I'm talking about, precedent of law. And there have been numerous reparations for other peoples in America.
I know. And it was done at that time to a specific people, and those people are now either dead or gone. So you have to figure out.
We're not. We're descendants who deserve.
When I have a case against someone, and then I die, the suit dies. You know, that's just the way. You know, like if you're married to someone and dies, you're free. It's over. You don't keep going back. Oh, you know, so someone married. Because pretty soon you're going to go into every little crime that someone else did. You're going to have in your bloodline. So what crimes do you have in your family? What does it do? You have a relative that shot and killed someone. Okay, do I sue you for losses? And I'm not even the family affected by it. Just, you know, a black person offended a German-Mexican person. Okay, let's go after everyone. Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about?
See life.
I'm suggesting that, yes, anybody who had some kind of white lineage who was there in family was here in the 1800s or before, deserve to make payments. They should be glad to make payments for what positions they obtained from what their ancestors put an entire population through.
Okay, so you're saying as a precedent that we are going to basically charge people who have nothing to do.
It's not a precedent. That's what I'm saying. It's not a precedent. Other people have gotten paid for being hindered.
Yeah, directly. People directly. You're talking about indirect. You're talking about two or three generations down, five generations down, eight, who knows. That's what you're trying to create.
The Japanese weren't necessarily directly or indirectly. There was a generation skip in there. You know, this is something that
you guys, we don't have to always default to reparations. We can talk about other contacts.
I'm
just saying both parties are dead.
Cartoon characters.
On moral principle alone, Don, you're right. But there's 350 million Americans. I don't see how it possibly could be financed. They just proposed a 830. Wait a minute. They just proposed a $830 billion defense budget. Now that's insane.
So, yeah, but the defense budget is not a part of GDP, so that's not counted.
I'm just talking about the priorities of this nation. A quarter of the federal government budget is already pre-designated. It's already spoken for, like veterans benefits, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security.
Look at the other side. Quarters is not allocated.
What I'm trying to say is, like, when that little town in Indiana paid reparations, $25,000 for each black person, probably the head of the household, that was cool. But I don't think on a large scale it would work.
And you don't know until you try.
It's not that I don't know. I just think it's not rational.
So there could be some racist
on our show who could say, have every damn black person who collected welfare for 18 years pay back that.
Under what pretense?
Under the pretense that they had babies knowing they'd get more money.
I don't have a problem with that.
Both principles are dead. That's all. That's all I'm saying is both principles involve. And when you go into the case law, when you go into legal law, that's how you work it. It's just, you know, you have a suit against someone, fine. They're dead, you're dead. That's pretty much the suit.
And that's what we are going to have to work to try to fix. Because that's
Do you believe in statute of limitations?
Yeah, but when slavery still exists, there is no statute of limitations.
Show me your cotton field you're working in.
John, when the population who's been here since the start is 200 years behind in education to their predecessors, there is something inherently wrong with that situation that needs to be remedied or fixed and remedied. There's a reason for that.
No one is forcing single black women to get pregnant and have kids and not have a daddy.
No, but they are.
That's 75% of the black population. A single mom, no daddy.
But they're still throwing them into a gerrymandered district that their votes don't count and they're not able to get remedy for, again, adjudicating anything that they might need to do to get out of poverty and more.
That's really reaching for you can vote anywhere you want to vote.
It's reaching because redlining does not allow the black population to get out of the ghetto, quote unquote. It's a hindrance in bringing people together. What the fuck is it?
You can keep pushing for it, but it's not going to make society any better. It's not going to make people responsible.
Integration. I had a brain freeze right there. Integration. The biggest problem we have is our border.
That's the bigger problem is the border and the economy is just terrible. It's going
to
sink us all. It doesn't matter.
We need more workers because the people in power don't want to clean toilets. We need those workers. We've got half a state of Florida that's going to need workers.
You don't bring in two million people at the border who don't speak English, don't have job skills, and you flood El Paso, you flood these little towns with like 1,500 people a day. They can't handle all that. It's not possible.
No, they can't.
Why did you take them in? Will you take them in?
No, but we...
Then you'll say, no, it's not my responsibility. I can't afford it, right?
But all of the presidents have sent back a ton of the immigrants. And so they, but that's never reported. But this is a crazy situation, and that only shows that when you sparkle, people come. We are best of breed, the world's class country and ideology and economy, and so that attracts people. And even, you know, even if it's a torn up infrastructure, like we have, our pipes, our roads, our bridges, everything, airports are archaic right now. And we don't have enough people to work. We need to import people. It's obvious. We need to import people. And we're doing it by, you know.
Oh, you really think that with all the homeless people we have in L.A., you think that's really working?
You know what? Those homeless people should be made in some form or fashion to work. That's a form of privilege. When you have come from a family that accepts the fact that you are living on the street and you're proud of your cardboard lean-to, then you really know you have a problem with privilege. And that's where this country has been, and it's time for new leadership. It's time for a different type of leader, whether it be one from either party or a third party. But there's going to be a need soon to have a new visionary, because right now these are not working, and it's the white people who are complaining about it. You don't hear a motherfucking thing from people of color. We're just moving along, trying to get an understanding of what's going on, and, you know, buying bigger houses because we're making more money.
You haven't looked at the economy lately. You already said you're worried about inflation, and you think bringing in millions of people from another country that don't have, you know, specific job skills, can't speak the language. You don't think that's an issue? You don't think that the wow, and you think we all should just give minorities money, and that's going to solve the problem?
No, it comes
from people, other people.
Yeah, but all these privileged people are demanding the same kind of services without allowing their kids, teaching their kids, wanting themselves to even work in some of these jobs that require hard labor. You know, housekeeping. Maids, they break their back every day. For what? You know, to be accused of stealing somebody's condoms? You know, this is ridiculous. You see the healthcare crisis from the healthcare, home health, especially home health care workers. They're getting paid minimum wage, doing maximum jobs, and then nobody wants to call them essential workers. And that is ridiculous. And no families around that I know of are raising their kids up to be healthcare workers for something, primarily because of things like that. Social work, the same thing. Social workers are going into environments that are horrendous, that even John can't even imagine. So, and they're getting paid monthly wages, and they're still not considered essential workers either. And that's ridiculous.
Wow. How long have you been a communist? How long have you been a member of the Communist Party?
I'm talking about working and salary. I'm talking about being that having capable care. That's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about socializing medicine. I'm not talking about having a national housing, you know, having a HUD that gives people money, everybody money, like 2008. You know, we're talking sensible remedies to...
Right. You're saying to the employer, you have to charge this amount of money or give this amount of money to your employees. You are dictating, the government is. That's a communist system. It's not a free market anymore. You're not in charge of your own company.
I'm
my own company.
What
Right?
Okay, I'm not sure I understand what you're referring that to.
We have a free enterprise system. So someone has a business, and they can afford to pay someone $10 an hour or your 20 or whatever. And you're saying, oh, no, it's like you have to pay X amount because they have to, they're essential worker, they need to have a living wage. That person's going, I can't run my business. It's like you're telling them how to run their business.
That's too bad because the workers.
That's communism.
But the workers need to, theoretically, need to keep up with CPI. They need to keep up with wages and index, and indexing is the way that they do it. So the economic departments need to corroborate their numbers with the government, and that's just
The government take over the business. You don't have a right to your own property or your own business or anything.
Exactly. Home healthcare workers are either governmental or they're privatized, and the privatized ones are slave workers. Slave owners who don't let their, employees, their slaves, do anything at cost of living wages. And that's really a mental moral thing. It's not necessarily a regulatory thing. And that's what they're trying to codify. These things are long overdue, John.
Well, you're talking America never became what it was by doing that.
Yes, it did. That's what slavery was about. Free, if you like to work for free for most all your life, in the heat, and those cotton seeds are hurt your fingers, and you're doing it every day, and they throw slop out to you. That's why that's what they cooked with, all the leftovers and the ends of the pigs and horses and everything else you can get your hands on. And the Constitution says you were 3/5 of a man. You don't have much of a choice but to just wait, be patient, and when the time comes, it's just like any good slave. When the time comes, it's ready to bolt from the plantation. It's ready to get the fuck out and do what you need to do to survive the way you think you are as a man or a woman.
Well, I understand that certain things have been done throughout time, but what I'm saying is I didn't even hear about that, and you probably didn't until you're in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, or in some class or looking up some history. The point is because it's not – we don't live that way anymore. It's like, you understand, we don't pick cotton anymore.
Man,
we don't. It's just, we actually have cell phones. We actually don't, use plows with cattle. So you're talking about stuff in another era, way out of era. They didn't have baseball back then. You know, they had no professional sports. They didn't have the NBA.
They did have baseball in 82.
No, they didn't. They didn't have the NBA. We couldn't even say, hey, blacks are better in basketball and in sports. They didn't have it.
Basketball, football, baseball, and soon will be hockey. We have one who's golf. We've just several tennis. We will take over one day, and that's just when it's just kind of a natural fact. People, all the anthropologists say that the superior person will be, chocolate brown man. So
right, but the strongest animal lives in nature. It's the smarter ones. So the question is, how smart are you? If everyone's a slave in your society and being manipulated by, smarter people or more ingenious people or more scandalous people, how are you going to change that?
Education.
Because you're just going by physical athletics and performance. You're not going by IQ and brain power. charisma.
Absolutely,
and all
brain. And brain power, creativity, the ability to adjust game plans and on the fly. Any situation takes a mind that's unfettered. And there is a certain culture that their mind is primarily on being as violent as possible in order to make a point while passing on a play that can score. So, you know, it's something that there's a need for new coaching style, coaching staffs, people in front offices, you know, as this whole thing is a hypothetical hyperbole, but, you know, this is something that, you know, there is going to need to be a change.
I'll be right back, you guys.
Well, I mean, you're negating Chinese culture, Russian culture, European culture.
In 2045, there will be a change because of the simple population. The majority will now become a majority when you have all the collectives accounted for. So we're looking at the fact that it's coming. So there's nothing anybody can say or do about it. Except, you know, for hoping that the white men stop giving their daughters over to all these black guys and, you know, making the white woman mean. Because she's our one of the black population's best friends. She understands not being equal, separate than being equal. Because
the people that are being, they're most propagating. Jews are the most propagating and Latinos, not blacks. So by that, it doesn't matter if you have 10 black guys and you've got 100 Mexicans, you know, you're not going to win your battles. And if you go against, you know, 10 Ashkenazi Jews that are very smart and own the property and the money, it doesn't matter physically what you do. You know, they got the nukes.
They're not propagating. You're,
they are.
The Orthodox are propagating, not the Ashkenazi.
Like I said, the Orthodox are doing quite fine. I know, because I have two or three friends. All they do is have kids. They got like five or six kids.
Look up your propaganda. I know. Just look it up, please. just look it up, population growth, and tell me next show. But the black population is alive and well also.
How many people are working for black people?
Well, that's because I don't have a famous idea on that one.
Because that's the whole thing. It comes down to who's the boss, who has the money, who's the banks. You know,
right,
I'm not saying
that
there's no black people, and I'm just saying that they're not gaining.
Yeah, but the problem with the world is greed. Everybody is talking about money. They're losing the sight of humanity, and that's what your problem is. You want to make Christian, and your main occupation is about money, and they're diametrically opposed. Concept.
No, actually, I don't believe that. I think that the Christ is coming.
Okay.
I think God will take over the world, and because it's a spiritual kingdom.
You won't be in heaven. You won't be in heaven, John, if you don't believe in the human over money. The greedy are the ones who dissolved in the Bible. They're the ones who died. You know, many of them. So those are many of the stories about those. You know, you don't chase after money. They learned it in the Bible. You have to love your fellow man, period, first. Stop, full stop. And for you to come, and a lot of other evangelicals, to always ascribe to monetary means as the end-all, be-all is... As it shows me, it proves to me that you may not be with me when we go upstairs when we die. You know, because money is not, that's not it. It's not it. It's loving your fellow man.
I'm back on the air now. I was ordering a transcript.
Okay. I was
so
tired of
that. What conclusions did you guys draw? And was it the same old argument?
It's the same old argument, different day.
So you guys, I was thinking of paying someone $10 an episode to call.
What kind of shit is that? If they want to call, make it voluntary. No. Don't pay anybody to be on the show unless you want to pick up the show. I mean, if you want.
John's call dropped.
Yeah, because I ripped him.
What did you say?
Love thy neighbor as thyself is the prophet, you know, Ten Commandment prophecy. And that.
He wouldn't have hung up because of that.
Yeah, well, he believes that money is more important than humanity. So I had to kind of tell him no.
He probably wanted to take a shower.
I hope so. Anyway,
just a minute, okay? Let me check.
You'll hear it when you hear the tape. You'll hear it.
Pause for 10 seconds. John, did you hang up because of Dawn or because you wanted to take a shower? Of Don or so Don, oh, he called. Now Wade's calling in. Woohoo!
Hey,
no.
Hi Wade, how's it going?
Doing all right. How you guys doing?
Good. You in Arizona today when you called?
Yes.
So we're 3/4 done with the show, but we'll get your feedback. First, we want to ask you, how was your month-long trip to Korea?
Oh, it was fantastic. Got to see some old friends and some cool places, and have some of the food over there. It was a good experience.
Can you go into detail? Like, did you do any artistic, creative, film-like stuff?
Oh yeah, well, I went over for the Webfest. We had a show in the a movie in the Webfest, a short film, and plus there was a TV show. I got to be on a couple episodes where they tell stories about things that happened all over the world, a lot of stuff about the U.S. and Europe. And so that was a lot of fun. I got to play a con artist. That was fun. I always like playing sneaky kind of trickster characters. It was a lot of fun.
You know the guy who you keep posting pictures about on your website on Facebook about he's drawing pictures for that main series. I forget what it's called now. The Throne. Is that the guy who you collaborated with on the film?
The Throne.
Every day you post a picture that somebody designed on Facebook. And is that the guy you collaborated with on the short film?
No, oh, you're talking about like the painting kind of stuff, like the castle.
Yeah, well, it's
castle
like still
and
art, but it looks like it belongs in a cartoon, sort of.
Oh, okay. This is a good topic for your show. No, that is not from any person, any artist that I'm working with. That is actually AI produced artwork. I've been playing with some websites recently. That you can go to, and it's unbelievable, but this is real. You type in something you type in a description, and their machine actually produces artwork. It's a website.
Okay, let me just make sure I have the right one, because I'm Googling you right now on Facebook. Just a minute. Because I have to ask a specific question, and I can't do it. Here, hold on.
No problem.
You and Don talk for a second while I look it up. Okay, I found it. So you said, I asked Al for an image showing it's a small world castle Islamic skyscraper. So is that what you were talking about?
I didn't say Alfred. That is AI. I asked the AI for an image showing it's a small world castle Islamic skyscraper. Yes, that is produced. That was produced by artificial intelligence.
That's really cool.
Isn't that incredible?
The first pictures that I saw on your website, more Game of Thrones, the Rankin and Bass version by Al. In other words, you asked Al to do something special like that, and he did it?
Yes, AI. So it actually, it has all this, I don't know if it searches stuff on the internet or what. But it pulls up the information and produces stuff.
Go ahead, Don, you can talk to him.
No,
well, that's really cool. Go ahead, Don.
No, I was just going to say, I was just asking Wade to tell Jane what AI is. She doesn't understand.
Okay, artificial intelligence. So it's actually a computer produced this stuff based on all this information it has. So it pulled up information about, oh, this is what Rankin and Bass stuff looks like. This is what Game of Thrones stuff looks like. And it actually produced, and it's pretty amazing. So you can create these things out of your imagination. Just type in, what would this look like, and see. And that's one thing I wanted to see. I put a bunch of pictures in because I always was like, yeah, what would it be like if Rankin and Bass did the Game of Thrones? So I posted a bunch of pictures. I think, yeah, that's about what it would look like.
Well, you actually answered my question a few weeks ago. I said, who is Al? And you wrote Al, meaning artificial intelligence. So app? So it's called the Hot Pot Art Maker, and I can go on there and ask AI a question.
Yeah, I think I put let me pull up the address. I think I put it. Let's see.
Explain to her what artificial intelligence is.
I know what it is, Don. I just got mixed up.
Yeah, I think I did.
I thought it was one of his friends collaborating on a short film, because Wade's made short films before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that would make sense. I said it's a computer that did it, so that's pretty much it.
And John's back on the show now. Don didn't alienate him too much.
All right.
I didn't alienate him. John knows it's nothing personal.
Okay, before I bring you in, I'm going to let Wade talk 60 more seconds.
It's hotspot.ai. That's the address. So if you go to that address.
Okay, I'll look it up, but do I have to have an Apple phone to access it?
I still like doing most of my stuff off the laptop. I don't like doing a lot of stuff on the phone. I use my MacBook. I'm sure it.
Oh, cool.
It's through a website. I'm pretty sure it's going to work.
I have I have a phone and I have a land computer by Dell. So I can't.
Yeah.
I can make videos with my land computer, but I can't. You know how, like on laptops, you can talk into Google Translate, and, you know, you have a microphone. On most land computers, you don't have a microphone you can talk into. I'd have to dig out my laptop that I have hidden in the kitchen. John, you're on the air now.
You can probably do it on either.
John, please explain if you hung up on us or if you Dumbo dropped your phone.
No, actually, the phone gave a message that the call trying to be made could not be made, and it hung up. I thought it was you. You know how you have the phone call that runs the show? I thought it was something that happened with you. So, anyway, my phone hung up on me.
Remember,
so
I used to play pranks on you, and I'd have like a fake voice come in through Google Translate.
Right.
So maybe you thought it was that.
It could be, but the point is, it hung up on me. I didn't do anything. But, you know, going back to subject that we were just at, I'll just make it real short. Just, you know, Don was kind of talking about this whole takeover of society by the black race. And the point is, you have to have power. And like when I go to the dentist, when I go to a doctor, when I go to a lawyer, they're all foreigners. They're all like Middle Easterners. They're Asians. You know, go to UCLA. How many black people outside of entertainment and sports are mobile? I mean, I know you see in the news, oh, we got, you know, LeBron James, or we got a, you know, movie with Will Smith. But that's not real power. Those are just puppet slave positions. The real power is like real jobs, real services.
I have had this conversation with you before, and I beg to disagree on some levels. I know a recent University of Minnesota graduate who just got a top key position as in journalism and sports, and she's black.
Jane.
I'm just
saying, there's hidden people in the world
that you don't know who are accessible, like black doctors that you've never seen in a hospital.
The point is, no, here's my point. I looked for a dentist recently. I looked at over, I'm talking 1,000 dentists. I looked at the pictures. There wasn't one black person. They were all, you know, Middle Eastern. They were all Asian. They were all white. They were all Jewish. And I'm talking not only California, Florida, Georgia. And so you can point out, oh, there's one black dentist or there's one black lawyer, Johnny Cochran. I'm just saying, go to UCLA. I drive by UCLA every day. I wait by the bus and I park my van. And I'm telling you, there's only Asian students. The only black people are athletes. And that's been
okay.
That way for the last 2 or 3 decades.
I'm going to let Wade or Don handle this while I go to the bathroom. But then, Wade, before you answer the question, can you tell John what you were talking about regarding the artificial intelligence?
Sure. Well, wow, these are both pretty hot topics. I don't know which one is going
to
be.
Well, I mean, just tell them how we got started, that's all.
Sure, so we were just talking.
AI,
I've been, hey, John, I've been just playing. You may have a lot of opinions on AI, too. I've been playing with some online AI art-making tools, which is just blows my mind. But I just type in something I want to see in the world, and the computer so Jane was asking about it because she thought I had an artist friend I was working with. It's like, no, I'm messing with a website. It's just great. It's like having an artist at my bidding, you know, that I just ask it, and within a minute it comes up with artwork. So it's pretty amazing. You can see on my Facebook.
I've seen some of it, and it actually is another world. I do have to say. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of the stuff is brilliant, actually.
Yeah.
It's addictive,
yeah.
Though, because, you know, it gets convenient, and I guess the problem is where do you stop it? You know, it's like if you start getting AI playing music, drawing, designing, planning for us, who's programming the AI? You know, like, I've never,
yeah.
Like, if you think about it, do we know the person who designed that program, were they Christian, were they Jewish, were they Muslim, were they atheist? And you say, well, I just want artwork. And that's true. It is, you know, but when you start getting into moral decisions, you know, like with vaccines or you know, where you can work, spirituality, that's going to be interesting. You know, for right now, it's actually exciting, though. You know, I will say that.
Yeah, yeah, it is kind of scary. It's like, wow, this is getting really good really fast. It's quite remarkable.
You know, and the question is, like example, say you want to travel somewhere and you go, oh, I'm going to drive. It's like, well, you can't drive. AI has to pick you up. Okay.
Huh.
You go,
well, yeah,
well,
that's not good. We need to be in charge.
Before you get in the vehicle, you have to be vaccinated. Well, I really don't want to. It's like, well, the AI is going to take you there. It's like, well, I don't want to. Well, it's coming over anyway. And that's, we're not at that level yet. But I'm just saying.
It's already happening, though, because not to that extent, but you've got, like, these social media sites that have these algorithms that will just kick people off and, you know, just because of some words they used or something. And or autocorrect is a simple illustration of, like, yeah, computers, like, being given too much power, where it's like, I don't want the program to automatically see. I think computers are great, but they should be obedient, not intuitive. You know, I don't always want it to be intuitive. I want it first and foremost to be obedient, and then maybe be a little intuitive within the context. Autocorrect. I hate it how sometimes it'll automatically correct your text and just so fast that you end up sending the wrong thing because the computer decided, oh, that's what you meant. It's like, no, we shouldn't. Why is this a default? Why would this be a default? This should be a feature I can add, but I don't want. Why would you think I automatically want the computer? Why would someone think I automatically want a computer correcting my spelling without asking me? So yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And like, think right now, we're in a bit of a lull because we've been through summer. But you know, in about 4 weeks, it's going to start hitting November. Cold weather, people are going to get sick just because that's normal. And everyone that gets sick, they're going to say it's COVID. Or a variant. They're going to say, oh, boy, we got to shut it down. You know, you got to get your mask on, and everyone, you can't. In vax cards, which was starting to be mandatory in California, and then they backed off, they're going to hit it really strong December, January. You watch. And it's like, no jab, no job. And then what do you do? You know. And then here's the thing. As it is now, you can kind of. It's a struggle because you argue, say, with a grocery store or your employer or whoever, and they call the police or maybe they don't. But there's still a little wiggle room, right? You push hard enough, and sometimes some jobs, they go, okay, we're going to back off a little. You start talking AI and your supervisor's a machine. Like, you call these agencies, like there's no human. It's just robotic. How do you negotiate with that? You can't. It won't negotiate.
Yeah, for sure. And there's pluses and minuses. In some ways, it's nice to have the machine not care. So it's like, you know, I've worked for, I guess I could say I've worked, been supervised by machines a bit with a couple. I've done a little bit of Uber driving where you're kind of, the computer's sending you stuff. And also my substitute teaching where the computer will send me out. But, which can be good, but, yeah, at the end of the day, yeah, humans should be in charge for sure. It's good.
I mean,
to have
the technology is great. Helpful. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
If people could just keep their spiritual or moral agendas out of it, like if it's just neutral, it's all good. But the problem is when people with dark intentions, and by that I mean people with a lot of money and a lot of power, this goes back to, you know, the Pharaoh, Hitler, Napoleon, the kings, you know, all these king, you know, lines, lineage. And this is the history of the world. It's not just, well, I think it'll change. It's always been this way. People are sheep, and they want to be led by some strong man, whether it's Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler, Putin, you know, that's what the problems are.
Well,
Kim Jong-un, right?
You've been listening well for me these many years, Grasshopper.
I can't hear you too well, Don.
What'd you say, Don?
No, I said he's been listening to me well all these years, Grasshopper.
Yeah, it's good we've kind of learned to understand each other's point of view on the show, huh? Yeah, there's it's good when we agree on something. It's like, okay, there must be something to that. We come from pretty different
perspectives. Yeah, I was going to tell you guys, Wade hasn't called since probably July, so don't overwhelm him.
That's all right.
He's doing a good job.
It's just a good conversation.
With Asian dentists and reparations.
Wade,
how is teaching going right now?
I got kind of thrown this week with fall break. I didn't know there was a fall break. Well, I mean, we always used to have like a couple days off for Thanksgiving, but now they're doing a whole week of fall break, which is like, oh my goodness. Like, I just got back from, I just took an extended summer break. So I actually need to be getting to work.
Money and now they took a fall break.
Yeah, which is all right. I mean, but I'm kind of enjoying the time too. But last week I worked and it was good and I had a good time. I was teaching kids about stories and stuff, so that was fun. That's a good fit for me.
Wade, I just mailed in my short call substitute teaching license, which would enable me to substitute teach in any school in Minnesota. You have to have a regular license just to substitute.
Oh, okay. It gives you permission, and now you'd have to apply to the district, though, right?
Yeah, like I applied to the state of Minnesota for licensing. I had to mail in all my college transcripts, you know, the whole run-of-the-mill stuff. Because some states you don't need a license to substitute, but Minnesota does.
Okay. What about your background check? You're going to be in trouble.
That was excused. That was 9 years ago, Don Felonious Gallimore.
That's me.
You shared a cell next to OJ.
Okay. No.
Let's not bring up the dirty past.
Go ahead.
Another topic, you guys. I just wanted to tell Wade that.
Interesting, yeah.
Okay, so are we talking about AI or Asian dentists? I forgot.
Asian dentist conversation. I think we were on AI for a while.
Yeah. Well, with AI, though, the programs you have, does it cost you or is it free?
So one website is free. It doesn't have as much range. There's another one. There's a couple of them that you pay like for a certain amount of credit, and then you can make art. But, of course, it's like way cheaper than hiring an artist. So, you can get like a full-blown painting. I think to enlarge it, they charge like $10. You can get stuff a lot cheaper.
Could I put a question in there like, Kim Kardashian, paint a picture of Kim Kardashian dating a normal guy, or paint a picture of Don at a Republican convention?
we could do. Well, I don't think it might not know who Don is, but one of them, it's harder to install, but there's one of them where you can give it like, you can make a file and like give it lots of photos of a certain person and train it. Like you could train it with your own face. Say, okay, here's me. Here's like 20 pictures of me. And then you could tell it, okay, now make me look like Napoleon, or, you know, make me look like a Greek statue, and it'll come up with stuff with your face. That's fantastic.
You're on Twitter and you want to, on Snapchat, when you want to send a friend a private message, they have these GIFs movie where they put like your face in there with your other friend's face, and like you're riding bicycles or you're doing something funny, you have like 20 pictures to choose from. So, like, let's say you were my Snapchat friend, I could send you a comical picture of both of us, but it would have our real faces in it.
Yeah, yeah, like that. So that's exciting to me because it's like, I mean, imagine, like, getting all the – and some of the stuff looked epic. There was a video on YouTube about that. Yeah, I learned about a lot of this stuff from YouTube. These guys that do visual effects, and they did a bunch of pictures of with their own faces so they could tell a story with, like, these epic-looking, like, illustrated novel kind of pictures.
That's cool.
That would be fantastic.
I will check it out on YouTube. I'll watch a tutorial. So, we've been on the air 4 minutes shy of 90, and John's about to take a shower in the gym. Does anybody have any final thoughts or conclusions to make?
Wade,
why don't you go? Because you called in at 75 minutes. So,
sure. So, yeah, sorry I was late. I kept hearing different things, I think, about the time, but that's why it was a little I thought
yeah,
it was going to be...
Yeah, that was several hours ago, but... We did it an hour earlier than we usually do.
Yeah, which is great because I'm not as – I've been getting up early in the morning. I was debating whether to touch on the whole racial topic maybe, but I don't know. It seems like maybe the less we talk about this stuff, the better. You know, the more we can just start – I'll just say, yeah, the more we just start seeing each other as just people and not as this kind of person or that. It seems like it's better the more we can just take people as I always my philosophy is there's three things you have to decipher with people. You have to decipher their abilities, right, their merits, their needs, and their behavior, right? So is this a person you can trust? Is this a person that can complete this task? Is this a person, and you know, what does this person need? And those are the only things I really have to decipher and distinguish about people.
That's a good guideline.
So I
would like to say something about that.
Sure.
I'm in a nursing field where, as besides working in an Alzheimer home once and with disabled people, I'm in a brand new field since February, nursing. Now,
sure.
There's people of many colors in Duluth. I would say Duluth is only 5 to 10% black, but there's a disproportionate amount of black people in nursing right now because that's where the jobs are. So I think, like John was saying, like visibly, like in society, like on news and stuff, you see black people in entertainment and sports. That's probably true, but in the far corners of the earth where you can't really see anything, like there's a ton of Afghan refugees in Wisconsin now. There's black people in Duluth, and they've been here since the 1920s. Like, you can't really see all the demographics that go on in every state and what fields they're in. Now, I believe John when he said he looked for a thousand different dentists, and maybe the 80% were Asian, but I've also seen where there's people in fields that you wouldn't expect them to be. And, you know, that's why I don't agree with Don's theory of reparations, but I do agree that there's a lot more diversity in people in different fields than anyone could possibly expect. So,
I do agree
with John's assessment on how they're always promoting gayness in the entertainment world. So, John, I don't disagree with you totally, just in certain things. Now, Don or John, do you have a conclusion to make?
Yeah, I'll make mine. Let John be the caboose. For the most part, I don't understand a lot of things that people think. But what is a good thing for some people is it could be a bad thing for others. I'm from Wisconsin, and the Afghans are helping out. the refugees who have gotten there. They're, you know, they're trying to help out. They know they have a different place that they're going to have to live for the rest of their lives, and they're going to be, for the most part, good citizens. So we have to, you know, kind of welcome them. We have to make sure that they're comfortable. You know, the Hispanic immigration border problem is only half of the problem. And I've said this a million times on the show and with everybody, that the other half comes from Canada. And they come from yachts, and they come from first-class plane tickets. You know, we're hypocritical when we think that the Mexican border is the only place where an influx of everyone who wants the diamond certified, you know, gold standard, which is us, to come here. So just get over it. Let's move on. Make sure that they have a place that they can live, that they want to be proud Americans. And John, yes, I stand by everything I said. Is the money is not, it's not the object. Life is. All right. Good night, everyone.
All right. Good night.
Well, but to answer that point, if you have houses in L.A. for $1 million, no one can afford it. You're flooding the market in with more and more people that can't work. It's like, we'll take them in, Don, and you go, I can't. I can't afford it. It's not realistic. It's not, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, so to say, just get over it. Okay, just get over it. Bring in 10 immigrants from the border. You can't do that.
You don't have to live in Los Angeles. You don't have to live in Los Angeles. Nobody has to. You're finding that out. You don't have to live in Los Angeles. Nobody has to live in Los Angeles.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to point out to you guys that Canada has a lot more looser restrictions on immigration, and they have people from all over the world up there. They have tons of Africans of every part of the continent, like North Africa, East Africa, South
right.
Africa. They have tons of other kinds of immigrants from Europe.
But here's the problem.
You don't really hear much
they
about
they
it.
They can't cross the border. No, but here's the problem. With any
well,
foreigners, they can't cross
they
the border.
Do.
In Canada, though, no, you can't. We're the only one where we have a situation at the border where people are flooding it. They don't allow this in Iran or Russia or China. You can't just barge into their countries. You have, you know, 200,000 a month, 200,000, 2 million a year. That's, no one does that. No country allows that. It's not feasible. You talked about your jobs and your money. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be wicked terrible the next, you know, 5-10 years. Mark my words.
Well, we're going to find out. It's been going on for years, John.
Not like this.
Well, you're not taking into account, John, the fact that the money that's being given out is going to come back into the system. And it might be, 1 or 2% to 6% gain, just like the housing crisis was, because that was fake. But, it's a return on your investment if you're giving some of this money away.
The money comes from working people. It's not play money, and it doesn't all come back. You get 5% of it back. We're destroying our middle class. We're wiping it out. And we're all going to be very poor class peasants, like the in the Dark Ages, and that's where we're heading. You know, it's New World Order, the Great Reset. So, but you, like next week, do some research. I'll get some numbers. But I mean, you already know, because when I came to LA, you could rent an apartment for $400 or $500. In the West Side, it's $4,000. It went up 10 times. I was making $14-15 an hour. You know, most jobs are 15 to 20. We should be making $200 to keep up with this. So using pure logic, you're talking, it's almost stupidity. It's lack of intelligence. There's no way this can keep going, and it's not. That's why we have this homeless crisis. That's why people are, you know, you have this whole moratorium on rent. People haven't been paying rent. Landlords are getting squeezed. That ends in February in LA. People are going to start getting evicted left and right. And, you know, and then you say just get over it. Yet when you have like an extra 100,000 people in the streets, families and kids, you can't just get out and gone with it. You know, so like I say, Don, bring in 10 people, take care of them, see how it works. You know it won't work. It can't work. That's the problem.
Well,
it's like,
I have 10 people in my household at any given time, and we take care of each other. I make sure I nurture my kids, and they're big, extreme successful,
yeah.
And it's just a good thing to know that I've taken care of, becoming a well-known family, and we're getting more power all the time. So that's one of the things that my basis is from everything, is the family unit. We have to make sure that we have a foundation for not only us, but our kids, from their kids, and, their kids. So this is an ongoing process. It won't end at any time soon. And it's just the way of life, man, that's here on earth to propagate, and that was it. He's not even here on earth to eat or sleep or shit. He's here on earth to propagate.
Okay, but the people that are with you, do they speak a foreign language and they can't speak English? Did you just find them off the street and they came in and you don't know them and you're paying for them? No. These are people you know or friends or family. Right? It's not some stranger that you've never met from another country.
Americans, they felt the same way. They were like, who are these people invading our country?
Okay. So, yeah, we got on the immigration state, huh?
Well, we saw how that worked out for the Native American Indians with invaders, right? We took it over, wiped them out. So, just get ready to get taken over and wiped out.
Well, they're not wiped out, though. They're still, I've heard there's actually more of them alive today than there was back then.
Right.
Population increase, but we do need to respect the rights of their reservations, and some horrible things were done a lot by Democrat leaders that did pretty, like the Trail of Tears, Andrew Jackson, for sure. I would say, I think people get too hung up on seeing the whole immigration discussion through the lens of it's all about race. I don't care how dark or light the people's skin that comes in. I don't care how Hispanic they are. What I care is just behavior. I care, let's get good people that are willing to work hard. Anybody who's going to come and do a job, heck yeah, welcome. And but also, we want people, as far as when people become citizens, I would like to keep it to people who will vote for freedom and free market, free trade, but a lot of people that are coming in, that's what they want. So, let's bring those. A lot of the Cubans are voting in we don't want socialism. We want free trade. Hey, come on in. Absolutely. Please, more of them. So I think that's what's about. I don't think it's hateful. I think it's reasonable for people to want secure borders, because one thing I think a lot of Americans are ignorant on is this is a normal thing all over the world. People are not just allowed to walk in any other country in the world, just about. I don't know of a country where you're allowed to just walk in. You have to go through the entry, a point of entry. You have to have someone check your passport. And, usually permission is given pretty freely, but you do have to get permission to go into most any country in the world. Any more thought? Any thoughts?
Well, it's chaos right now. There's no control. There's no limit. There's no plan. It's just people doing terrible in another country running into this country. And the problem is the remedy is back to where they came from. It's like the governments there don't care. So it's a situation we're going to have the same environment here as where they came from. People starving and no jobs and, you know, you just get used to living in cardboard boxes or having, you know, living in a shack because that's how they live. That's where they come from. So
and that's what I'm talking about.
If you flood a country with that situation, it's just going to perpetuate, right? So
But it's natural. It's survival of the fittest. And so, you know, that's all a part of God's plan. You know, I mean, there are two dichotomies there, but, you know, it's all a part of nature's plan. And what we're going through right now is just a part of human history. It will change, and people will just have to kind of learn to live with it instead of focusing on the fear factor. As I've said a million times, don't fear anything. Just go with the flow. Do what you have to do to take care of yourself, your family, and make sure you're not a burden or, you know, someone who is detrimental to society. That's, you know, that's one of the things that I learned the hard way being a cop kid. You know, I didn't play by too many rules. So, you know, it was a wild upbringing, wild adulthood. But, you know, I'm still here, and there are a lot of things I learned over time. And most of it is, you know, kind of the saying, get what you got. You know, everybody, there are no victims. We all, you know, settled into this exact puzzle piece that we're supposed to, and we just have to move on, you know, do the best we can. That's all. You know, it's real, real simple. It's kind of like stay in your lane as long as you find a good lane.
Until someone pulls up.
Are you guys ready to go now? Or you want to keep talking?
Well,
it doesn't matter to me. You guys can keep talking. Just hang up when you're done.
All right. It sounded like it was kind of slowing down for a moment.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
Raise your hand metaphorically if you have to go.
I'm okay for a little bit more.
Okay, 10 more minutes. John's in the shower. And Don is behaving tonight and Wade is being helpful. So you guys got 10 more minutes.
Well, I'm
okay.
Good to go. I pretty much said what I said my piece. And, you know, it's good to hear from Wade. And so you got it. And then, you know, I'm going to take off and get ready for bed.
That's fine. I just have to rewrite the show. I'm going to cut to music. Thank you for calling in, Wade. And since we were talking about the Game of Thrones, I'm going to play Before the Throne.
All right.
Good night, you guys.
Good night.
All right.
Good
night, everyone.
Take care.
Thank you.
Take care.
I offer up myself to by your hand. My dreams and schemes and all I have is surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate, I stumble and I fall. Still you always pick me up whenever I will call. We humbly bow before you, we love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the
night, you all. Good night. Okay.